So this chart really describes a succession of outcomes resulting from the descent and ascent of the soul. Now, actually, there was a question about, does the soul descend or does it not descend? Because you can meet your soul in heaven. Your soul remains there even when you are physically here. So does the soul travel from place to place? Well, none of this happens in the in a different place than with the Nasut, Malakut, Gabarut, Lahut are not different locations. So the question is the soul in the world or not? Well, you could say that the soul's descent means that the soul is taking on vehicles, the mind is a vehicle of the soul, the body is a vehicle of the mind, taking on vehicles. So does it enter those vehicles? Well, yes and no, but because it's not a thing that would be inside the body. Even the idea of a vehicle is metaphorical. I mean, a human body would enter a car, but it's different with the soul. It's not that the soul steps into the body and drives it. It assumes it. And let's say that part of the soul's life, which is occupied with it, is not any more conscious of that part of the soul's life that is unoccupied with it, until there's a reacquaintance between these components of one's being. And that's what we're describing, this ascent. Moshe talks about levels of a house, and one has lived one's whole life in a little room on the ground floor. There are other levels, and the whole house is yours, but you have to explore those rooms. So yes, there is a sense in which the soul, there is that in us which remains on the plane of Jabarut. And there is that part of us which is privy to Nasut and which has forgotten Jabarut. And the reunion of those is what brings about, after the hamta, after the body of, after the double, then the body of resurrection. That's the reconciliation between, you might say, the heavenly witness, that part of the soul which has remained untouched by incarnate life, and the upload of one's incarnate experience. My father used to like to use those metaphors. Soul can download its programming, and our lived experience is uploaded. Tell you personally, after my father's stroke, I remember he said once, the hardware is malfunctioning. So that showed that he was aware of the physical support system as not the totality of his being, but as a medium, as a hardcore for the software. So there's an uploading of the experience of our earthly life that then produces this sequel in the Barzakh, in the interim state, while some significant part of our embodied life continues, but now without material substratum. And then that dream body, that hereafter body, is moved to more and more grasp the soul. That's its work in the hereafter. Work out the loose ends of one's human incarnation and grasp the soul, while the soul welcomes its returning envoy, you might say. So nature grasps nature. And in English, that word grasping has the sense of, well, taking hold of something, but also conceiving of something, comprehending, to grasp an idea, grasp for the dream self, to grasp the luminous pre-incarnate soul and its meaningfulness. And those two parts of oneself are integrated, are reconciled. The soul avails itself of the sum of that earthly journey as epitomized in the dream body, and the dream body is exalted and transfigured by the sublimity of the soul, and the body of resurrection takes shape, which is like in the Hymn of the Pearl, when the prince returns home and is endowed with the robe of splendor and is greeted by his parents. But then at the very end of the Hymn of the Pearl, a further adventure is foreshadowed. Having returned home to his parents and attaining his birthright, one task remains. And that is the pearl that has been fetched from the sea and from the guardianship of the serpent, which demonstrates the tendencies of the Nafsalamara, that having retrieved it, now the prince has to make his way to the court of the King of Kings and present it there. So the journey to the parent is like the journey of what comes from our nafs to the soul and return to the enfoldment of the soul. And that then the harvest of the earth, the gleaned pearl, has then to be presented on high. And that means that what is born between the double and the soul, namely the body of resurrection, now has to find an accord with the Ruh al-Qudus, the Holy Spirit. And the different ways I alluded this morning, different ways of characterizing the what we call the spirit of guidance. But essentially, it's the first manifestation. And it's the quintessence of all spirits, the spirit of spirits, emanated by God. for the purpose of the fulfillment of creation, for manifesting and extracting the purposefulness of creation. So the soul, the body of resurrection, born of the soul, then has to enter into conjunction with the Holy Spirit and bequeath the crème de la crème, the very gist of the whole journey. So the conjunction of the hamta and the ru is pure enjoyment. This just unearthly delight in that homecoming. Nature rejoices in nature. And then the third marriage is nature dominates nature. Do you understand that? Well, dominates, think of dominus. Which has to do with mastery and lordship. We speak of all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the master. Well, that part of the invocation speaks exactly to this third marriage. Illuminated souls forming the embodiment of the master. And the master is the spirit of guidance, the first emanation, the Ruh al-Qudus. And so souls embodying that, coming into conjunction with it as soul to body. The body of resurrection becomes the vehicle of the Ruh al-Qudus. And out of that then enters Lahut, the philosophical child. That's the gist of the whole journey. The elixir. And that goes into Lahut. Lahut is the realm. Now, when it's beyond the personal, that's the very, let's say, most essentialized distillation of the person enters into the vastness of the impersonal, or I suppose you could say transpersonal, the encompassing spirit of spirits. And so dominates, well, rub perhaps could be translated, dominus, rub. And rub, you find it not only as a name of God, but also as a name of, Shabadin Sarawati uses it to describe the lords of the species. Every species has its rub. And the rub of the whole creation then is the first emanation. And so that means the archetype. In that sense, Rub means the archetype. So then the body of resurrection realizes itself as the exemplar of that archetype, which is the Holy Spirit. God's breath pouring into manifestation, God's radiance spilling out into being from the depths of the hidden treasure. So what's born is the philosophical child. That is the expression used in Hermeticism. And in Sufism, often the expression is the walid al-qalb, the child of the heart. What is the heart in this whole scheme? Well, Murshid does describe the combination of the soul and mind as the spirit. And of course, the part of the mind that's closest to the soul, the depths of the mind, is called the heart. So one could see a synonymousness in Murshid's use of the word spirit and the word heart. So the heart is crucial to the formation of the body of resurrection. And sometimes the heart is described as a womb, like Mary's womb is the heart, and the Holy Spirit inseminates that womb, and a child is born, who is the Messiah, the bringer of resurrection. Maulana Rumi speaks about that in the Masnavi. So we're really talking about levels of resurrection. And, well, it might sound very abstract and remote, and to some extent it is, but these are all things to be expected in the hereafter. But our life is already verging toward that. That's where it's all heading. So the more that we're aware of it now, we can actually participate in these very processes consciously. So the philosophical child, that which enters into Lahut, into that great treasury, if someone is very efficient in conversation, they don't want to go down all different blind alleys. They want to get right to the matter. Get right to what is the gist of it all? What is the essence of it all? Or in a poem, good poem, you can't afford to be too wordy. There should not be one extra word. So there's a simplification, but that simplification is just getting right down to the gist. That's what come out of it all. And it wouldn't have arisen if it weren't for the whole cycle and all of the processes involved and all of the conjunctions and so forth. But now those conjunctions have occurred, the veils have been drawn and have lifted, and so the story in the end isn't a long drawn out one. That's already been told. Now it's just what's the perfume of it all, like the rose petals crumble and fade into dust. Well, there's still the fragrance, if that can be distilled, then the petals will long since have been scattered, but the fragrance endures. The fragrance of the whole of the soul's journey, the philosophical child, fragrance imbuing the soul of souls. There's a beautiful passage by Shekhar Nargis Dowland. You know Shekhar Nargis Dowland? No? You don't know Shekhar Nargis Dowland? Well, please meet her. She lived a century ago, and she was a close murid of Murshid's. That's a whole other story. She was a great one. And I don't suppose there's a copy of that book, Caravan of Souls, in the room right now. Nobody has that, do they? No. Well, look there, because there's a page by Nargis Dowland about the spirit of guidance that goes right to this. You'll see the one sentence at the end of that. And it sort of trails off because she doesn't want to say too much. She's touching on a great mystery, and she doesn't want to weigh it down with excessive words. But she touches on it. So, have a look at that. It has to do with the philosophical child. She doesn't use that expression. A good practice we can do, we already touched on it briefly, we can do it again, is the saying these words, Yaruh Aruh. Yaruh Aruh. Ya O Ru. Soul. Aruh. Of the soul. Yaruh Aruh. Oh, soul of my soul. Soul of my soul. So we're speaking to the soul of soul. We're speaking to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of guidance. You say, oh soul, and just saying that and lifting the offspring of one's soul, which is the philosophical child, up to the soul of souls. Induces something that we have to be careful not to even try to talk about too much. It's better not to weigh it down with words, but just to say, oh soul of my soul, oh soul of my soul, lift your soul. On soul up to the soul of souls, and see what in that conjunction, And particularly not the soul, you know, and not the soul that has that never incarnated. Yes, there is a conjunction between the soul that never incarnated and the soul of souls, and that has its own beauty and providence. But in our case, we are ones who did incarnate. And so this is a soul now in its conjunction with the soul of souls that is laden with the quintessentialization of the double and the body of resurrection. So the gleaning, the harvest of the whole cycle. And that then soul, now, you know, liberated anew, restored to its consciousness of itself in its freedom, but at the same time imbued with the legacy of the whole journey and offering that conjunction into a further conjunction with the soul of souls. So we incline toward that when we say Yaru, Aru, to the right, and then every time you say Aru, it's to the middle. Yaru to the left, Yaru to the right, to the left. Every time the phrase ends in the middle. Yaru, Aru, Yaru, Aru, Yaru. Yaru, ro, yaru, ro, yaru, ro, yaru, ro, yaru, ro, yaru, ro, yaru, ro. Turn up to the Holy Spirit, which lives in, is sustained by the infinite absolute. We say, ho, 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 ho. We turn down toward the body of resurrection, which is the transubstantiation of the double in its encounter with the personal soul. And we say, ho, 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 ho. And then between the soul of souls and the resurrection body, in the conjunction, comes to life that conclusion of the story, you might say, the philosophical child. خالق يا 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 خالق we turn back now to shavuot and zikr in succession, and in the course of the four stages, the full moon becomes brighter. You visualize first a bright full moon, but in the second set of shavuot, it's an uncannily bright moon, a super moon, and then still brighter still, and in the last shagals, it's the sun. The moon has become the sun. The moon is intensifying in brightness during those four sets of shagals, beginning as a full moon and in the end, a blazing sun, but incrementally. So, three breaths. in.
La, la, la,
in.
La, la, la,
in.
La, la, la,
in. In.
La, la, la.
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 In.
La, la.
In.
La, la.
In.
La, la, la.
Illa,
la.
Three breaths of Shagal and the moon brightens still more. Illa,
la,
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 la,
illa,
in.
La.
In.
La.
In.
La.
In.
La.
In.
La.
In.
La.
La. In.
La.
In.
La.
In.
La.
In. In.
La.
In.
La.
In.
La.
In.
La.
In. Three breaths as the moon becomes more sun-like. Allah. An. An. Moon, the full moon has become a blazing sun. Three breaths. Shall we rise to close with the evening prayers?